today we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do. And God, we're excited about learning from you. As we're in this section here where, Lord, I just, in my mind, I just see you hanging out with your guys and ministering to them and interacting with some others who come in and out of the situations. And Lord, I pray that as we watch, that we would glean for our own lives truths and principles. We would see things that maybe we need to change, some things maybe we need to confess. Maybe some promises we need to stand on. And Lord, I thank you that we have somebody who recorded these, wrote them down so that we can read them. And God, that our lives can be changed, our lives can be ministered to, and we can be strengthened. So bless this time and open up our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you know, it's a bummer that the chapter break between 19 and 20 is I think just a bad chapter break, although we wouldn't have had time to go through the whole thing anyway. But we got to keep in context. I think the parable we're going to look at and begin with this morning gets so misunderstood because people take it out of context. And you know, I'm one who, man, I get upset when somebody either might quote a scripture to me or something, and it's out of context. I just like inside, you should see what's going on in there. It's just like, and you know, context is extremely important. God didn't give us, listen carefully, he didn't give us a bunch of magical incantations that we can just shout out in the air to change things because we're quoting a verse. God gave us scripture to reveal himself to us and his heart to us. So keeping it in context, remember the rich young ruler came, Jesus dealt with him and his specific situation, then talked about rich men getting into heaven, and then the disciples were a little freaked out about it, remember, and they had that discussion. And then here's the thing, Peter said, hey Lord, what's in it for us? And that's kind of where we left off, right? We finished the chapter, and Jesus said, those who are first shall be last, and those who are last shall be first. Now we're going to look at that, but keep that overall context. What's in it for us? And I think some of us, you know, we ask God, what's in it? And hey, it's not what's in it for you. You're supposed to be following and worshiping God. Not what's in it for you. So Jesus gives them this parable, and I'm going to read the whole parable and then come back because I don't want us to get caught up in a bunch of details. Some people get so caught up, they miss a big picture. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll comment a little bit and get the conclusion and then go on to the rest of the study. So verse 1 of chapter 20, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here all idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go out into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours, go your way. I will give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called and few are chosen. So Jesus laying out this parable, and again, it's you know, we can look at the time frame that's going on, because I think that's important. The first ones were hired at 6, then the next one's at 9, and then at noon, and then at 3, and then at 5, and the day ended at 6. Now, there was an agreement. The landowner made an agreement with those he hired first to give them a denarius, and that represented a day's wages. So he came and he did that. Now, you need to know culturally, this was like something that they could picture, because culturally, people would wait and go to a marketplace and stand there until they got hired for a day. And hey, these guys were like one step above beggars, really. And they needed that money, they needed the day's wage, and that's why they always paid them at the end of the day, because they needed the money. So it's not uncommon. Even today, when you go to Israel, you go to the Damascus Gate, they gather there and get hired from there. It's kind of interesting. So listen, man. The guy made an agreement, and then I love when he comes to the others. I love that. He comes to the others, and he says, hey, you go work, and I'll give you whatever is right. I kind of like the trust issue there when you look at that. There's a trust issue. We were in Israel one time, and we needed to get a taxi from. We were at a convention center. We needed to get back to the hotel, and this young kid pulled up, a taxi driver, and I went to him, and I said, hey, how much is it to get to the Dan, the hotel we were staying at? And he goes, as much as I can get. I love that, man. I go, man, I'm getting in this taxi. This guy's honest, right? He's being totally honest. And hey, you know, and isn't that what the landowner's telling him here? I'll pay you what is fair. So he starts. Now, the only flip in this story is the fact that he paid the last first. And that's the big flip. And obviously, the story's told to make a point. And here's the point. Envy and jealousy will get you nowhere. Jesus paid what was, not Jesus, the landowner. I keep saying Jesus. The landowner paid what he agreed. And it's his money. And he could do what he wants. And so, listen, you have the first guys are upset. Why are they upset? Because they're envious and jealous. And they're just like us. Listen, we like something when we agree with it. And then when we don't agree with it, we get all uptight. And we start, you know, stomping our feet and yelling and getting mad because we think we're entitled to certain things. So listen, these guys got all mad because they're looking. Now, logically, they're looking. The first guys that only worked 1 hour got a denarius. In their minds, they're going, boom, we're going to get 12, right? I mean, they're just kind of doing the math and thinking that. And when they got only one, they were upset, although that's what they agreed to. Now, you can get into every detail of that, but here's what you need to understand. This parable is teaching us one thing, that our God is a gracious God, period. And it's his to do with what he wants. And he's not teaching, and some people use this for salvation, and I think that's kind of weird. You know, we don't earn salvation, we don't work for salvation, and they'll do the whole thing, you know, the thief on the cross. Like, think about that guy. He took one breath, and then went to heaven. And he gets the same place in heaven you get. Now, some of you might be mad. You didn't realize that. You thought you were going to get more, maybe. I don't know. But listen, that's not about salvation. Here's what it's about. I look at it as, number one, God is very gracious. Number two, we get to do what he lets us do. And we shouldn't get uptight about it. It shouldn't be something we're worried about. And so he's going to go on and explain that. But our God is a gracious God. Hey, it's easy to live by works, by law, to get what we deserve. It's hard to live by grace, getting what we don't deserve. And it's hard for us to comprehend that and figure that. And I think especially in America, the way we function and the things we think, we're all about, well, if I do this and I do this, I deserve this. And hey, it's grace. And so he's just teaching it's grace. And then, so he says, hey, you know what? I believe we're going to be shocked at some of the rewards people get. Because some of us think, you know, the people who are up front doing things deserve more than the people who aren't up front. And that's so bogus. So Jesus lays out to his disciples, number one, what's in it for us? That's what Peter asked, right? Hey, what's in it for us? And Jesus is telling Peter, quit worrying about what's in it for you and just do what I asked you to do. That's all we have to worry about. Hey, this thing called Christianity is not a race. You're not in competition. You're not trying to do better than somebody else. You're not trying to beat somebody. You're not trying to earn more than somebody. This is a life. So he lays that out and he tells them, and then he says again, the first, the last shall be first. We're going to be shocked again, I think, at what some people get, and the first shall be last. And then the New King James has it. I know that some of the newer translations don't have that last part. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's some people who really hate that idea. And even last night, some people came up, why is that in there? And I said, because it's true. That's why it's in there. And people say, I don't like that. And here's why you don't like it. Because you're thinking, listen, you're thinking as a human and as you think. You need to know something. God is perfectly just, perfectly holy, perfectly right, and it's okay. Don't get so uptight. There are many who are called, but not everybody's going to respond. Not everybody's going to be that part. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard the illustration before. You know, it's used a lot that you go up into heaven, and on the way in, it says, you know, whoever calls on my name will be saved. You get on the other side, and it says chosen from the foundation of the world. Don't get all uptight. And here's, I think, the best explanation for you know, God being able to choose. How many of you want to choose who you're going to live with the rest of your life? You don't have to raise your hands. I think we all do, right? We all like the idea that we have a choice. Shouldn't God have the same choice? And he's going to choose correctly. But having said that, here's what I know. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone's not going to call on the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, sorry, you don't get in. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So we need to know that. So don't get uptight about, you know, thinking about, I don't think that's fair. Hey, God is always just and right and perfect. So now he lays that out to them, and now we're getting a little movement, right? Now we're going to head on up to Jerusalem, and listen, it says in verse 17, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed into the chief priests, be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will raise again. Now this is, most of the scholars say this is the third time. I think this is the fifth time he's mentioned it, but that's just, again, an opinion I have back when he started in chapter 18. But at least three times he has told them already of what's going on. Now, the difference here is he even tells them here, I'm going to be crucified. He opens that up before he just said delivered to death. Now he's saying he's going to be crucified. Imagine if you're the 12 hanging out with him and you've been with him, and now all of a sudden he opens up this whole thing and he's letting them know he's going to be crucified, which means he's going to be a criminal. Would you stick with him? He just told you he's going to be arrested. He just told you he's going to be convicted and condemned as a criminal. You going to hang out with him? I mean, I think this is a real kind of turning point for them to make some decisions. And I think their minds were a little bit blown. Although, I'm not sure they heard everything. You know, it's kind of like us. We often don't hear the whole thing. I think especially as spouses, right? We've talked about that before. Make sure you ask your spouse, you know, did you hear? You know, just yesterday morning, Gail was talking to me and I wasn't listening. But she didn't know at the time. Well, I guess she did, because she said, what did I just say? I know what you were talking about, so I'm going to take a shot here. Right? Right? That's what we do, right? And these guys, listen, man, why do I say they weren't listening? Look at them. Look at them. So they're on their way. Jesus lays this out to them, right? Tells them everything. And then check out, like, right in the midst of that, verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. For reals? Like, I mean, he just said, I'm going to be crucified. And she goes, hey, I got a little request going on here. That is bizarre. They weren't listening. Even mom wasn't listening. Now, this part bugs me bad. Bugs me bad because two grown men and they have their mom go ask Jesus. Say, come on, man, man up. Man up and go do it yourself. Now, you have to remember their mom was related to Mary, more than likely Mary's sister. They're cousins. Kind of have the family thing going on there, and maybe they thought, well, you know, he might turn us down, but he surely wouldn't turn his aunt down. You know, I don't know what's going on, but the fact that she goes, now, what's also interesting is the stuff they pick up on. In chapter 19, if you remember when Peter said, what's in it for us? Do you remember what Jesus told him? He says, hey, when in my kingdom, you guys, you're going to sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. Huh. They had faith enough to believe that. They didn't catch 20, 1 through 16. They missed that part. It went like poof. They didn't catch the next few verses when he's talking about being crucified. But that part they glommed onto, and they're understanding, man, they're going, we get thrones? That's cool, right? We're kind of digging that. We like the thrones, but even greater than that, we want the power places. And that's a problem with a lot of people in the church. They want position and they want power. And something else that bothers me, it says here, she came and she knelt down. And Mark, I think it's Mark, maybe Luke, they say she came and worshiped. She didn't really worship. Saints, worshiping is not coming to God to get something, it's coming to God to give something. And we need to understand, real worship is giving, not getting. One of my favorite books is by Warren Wiersbe, and he just went to be with the Lord Friday. And great, great author, great, great man of God. And his book, Real Worship, he talks about, hey, worship is about giving, not about getting. And she's coming, and she's not really worshiping. She's requesting. She might be praying. She might be doing that. But she wants something. And she's wanting her two boys to get this special place. And so she comes and she says, hey, can one sit at your right and one sit at your left? Again, the power places, right? And some people are involved in church simply for that. They want position, they want power, they want to be in those places. And that's a wrong motivation. I mean, you're coming with the wrong heart and the wrong attitude. And you gotta, man, if you're here today and you're kind of thinking that, man, I hope that changes. Well, we'll get more into it. Look at verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. I love that. Now listen, I think that would be enough where you would just go, you know what, never mind, forget it. Mom, come on, let's go. I don't even know why she went up there. If I was James or John, I would have gone, who let her go up there? What's she doing? You know, so, hey, you don't even know what you're asking. Now listen, because it gets a little crazy here. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they, James and John, right, the sons of Zebedee, they said to him, we are able. Oh, man, I don't think you should have answered that. I think you should have like zipped it and left. And don't you hate it when something comes out of your mouth like that? And I'm just thinking, why did they, you know, number one, they're not understanding. He's not talking about water baptism or something. I think most of us know that. He's talking about his suffering and his death. Can you drink the cup of suffering? Can you be baptized with the baptism of death and suffering? Can you guys do that? And I think they have a little bit because he's just announced it, but they're going, yeah, we can do that. We're able, not a problem. And so Jesus tells them in verse 23, he says, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared, prepared by my Father. Now go back to the parable and think of the parable. Listen, God is going to give what he wants to whom he wants, and we need to understand that. Here's what he's telling them. Hey, you guys are going to do that, and he knows what's going to happen to him, but you need to understand something. God gives gifts as he wills, not as we will. And I think it's important to seek him. I think it's important to understand your gift. But I think, listen, I think there's some people that they want certain things and they want God to give them certain gifts, and I'm just gonna go by gifts, and you need to know it's according to His will and how God has prepared us. God has built each one of us individually. He's put us together, and if you're saved this morning, listen, He put you together, He saved you, and He made you a special way for a special purpose. And when you find that purpose, you need to do that with all of your heart. And you're not doing it, listen, if you're doing it to get something, wrong motive. If you're doing it because you think God now is gonna owe you something, well, look what I did for your kingdom, God. Now you've blown it because it's not that you've all of a sudden taken possession of His kingdom and you made it your kingdom because you're tooting your own horn. Saints, He's made us. He's allowed us to be part of this thing called the body of Christ. I'm blown away that God just saved me. I look in a mirror and I think, wow, I don't think I'd have done that. And then I'm really blown away that He lets me do what I get to do. And it's mind-boggling, and I look at it and I think, I get to do this? I get to be part of this? And I think, listen, man, we should be doing it with all of our heart. Well, Jesus goes on, listen, He goes on. And He says to them, verse 24, and when the, oh, well, we'll get it there in a minute. So He tells them that when the 10 heard it, we got to get back to the group, right? When the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Of course they were. Why were they greatly displeased? Not because they were embarrassed by them. They're greatly displeased because they wanted the chairs. What are those guys, who do they think they are? And there's all that stuff. And you know, every time I read about the apostles, I think, this is the ones God chose to like carry on. And they're just like us. They're goofs. They're blowing it. And they're like, these 12 are going, man, you wait till we get along. Peter's telling Andrew, I can't believe. So, look, they're greatly displeased, but Jesus, you can kind of see this, they're doing this stuff, and Jesus says, come on, kids, come on, let's all gather here, and let me teach you something, let me kind of explain this thing to you, right? And so, when Jesus called them to Himself, and here's what He said in verse 25, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. So listen how it's going. Here's what Jesus is saying. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then you got to be a servant. You don't look for position. You don't try and get position. You don't place yourself. You start serving, and you serve, and you find ways to serve. And then, listen, then once God allows you or once you figure out your gift that God has given you, you use that gift, and when you use it in the correct way, you're still serving. You're not using the gift to exalt yourself. You're using your gift to serve the body of Christ and to be part of it. I look at the musicians that we have. Hey, God has gifted them with talent and are able to do that. But listen, they're not playing to be recognized. They're playing to serve the body. When I teach the Bible, I don't want you to go away saying, man, Pat, I want you to go away and say, man, God is good. And it's a servant heart, and it's a servant attitude. And He says, then you're gonna be great in the kingdom. And this is like flipping everything on its head for them. These guys gotta be blown away right now. And they're still like, I think they're still thinking, hey, we were talking about chairs. And now you're telling us we need to be servants. Oh, He goes a little bit further. Verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give Himself as a ransom for many. Wow. He takes us from being a servant, which is a word that we get deacon from or even minister from. He takes us from that and takes it down a couple notches. And now He says you need to be the slave. And the word there for slave is like the lower under rower in a boat, the lowest of all slaves. You need to be a slave. Here's a way to test to see how you're doing in serving the Lord. Oftentimes, as we're serving the Lord, and I've had people in ministry come and, you know, serving here in a church, and they'll go, you know what, man, so-and-so treated me like a slave. And I go, good, because that's what you are, oh, I don't like you anymore, Pat. Do you get upset if someone treats you like a slave? Because oftentimes people in ministry, some people, oh, I didn't get a thank you. No one appreciated me. No one said anything to me. I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, then you were doing it for the wrong reasons. You're a slave. Last time I checked, slaves didn't get a big thank you at the end of the day. So, hey, just serve. Just do what God has called you to do and be content in that and understand that. And then he says, look at, he says, hey, look at the Son of Man. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that's what he did. And hey, that doesn't mean he was always, you know, had an apron on serving. It means that he was doing what he was doing to lift others up and to get others in a position where they can be blessed and cared for. And then he says, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus paid a ransom price for you and for me. And that ransom was that he experienced that separation from God the Father. And he paid that. It blows my mind. Even some of the commentaries I read are saying that Jesus paid the ransom to the devil. Somehow, people have this picture that the devil is in charge of hell. You need to know something. The devil's not in charge of hell. He's a captive of hell. He's not in charge of hell. For all of eternity, he's not going to be there. I'm the ruler. He's going to be one of the beings who are suffering for eternity. He's not in charge. God doesn't owe Satan anything. Jesus paid the ransom to God the Father. And God the Father, what are the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. And we talk about it. Death doesn't mean physical dying. It means separation from God. And Jesus on the cross in a moment of time took that eternal separation that you and I deserve and took it upon himself. And now he holds it out and he goes, hey, I paid your ransom. You're free. Hallelujah, huh? And we're free. So listen, Jesus just laid that out for them. And so now they're continuing their walk. So they went through that, and I think now these guys got really something. They got a whole bunch to mull over, right? Okay, we got thrones. We're going to get families, the whole first and last, and we got to figure that out and how we're going to justify, and, you know, we're going to get that going on. And then this whole crucifixion thing, we got to, and then, we have so much to think about. And so much to digest. And now they're going and they get to Jericho. And I love this story. Verse 29. It says, now as they went out to Jericho, a great multitude followed him. So he's got people. Listen, he's got this entourage. And hey, Jericho, if you go to Jericho from Jericho, it's all uphill to Jerusalem. It's a hard, you know, we get to do it in an air-conditioned bus when we go. But it's a hard walk, man. And they're getting ready to do that climb up there. And they're in Jericho. And it says, listen, and now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they had heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Now, listen, man, I love this whole scene. You got all of these people around, and I kind of just get kind of a chaotic, like, you know, ragtag parade going, and the disciples are like, okay, what did he say? He said, no, he said this, and then he said this. They're trying to process stuff, and they're cruising along, and as they get to Jericho, these two blind men are yelling out, have mercy on us, Son of David. Now they're declaring Messiah. This had to be intense. Listen, it kind of had this, everybody kind of went, what? Now, a little bit of discrepancy, because some people get uptight if you do cross-reference and look at other gospels. In Mark and Luke, they say there was one guy. Luke even names him Bartimaeus and says there's one guy. Matthew says there was two. Which is right? Yeah, I always say yes. They're both right. Listen, here's what I do know for sure. If there were two, I know there was one. I kind of draw that conclusion, right? So that's not a hard thing to draw. Hey, so it's perspective. It's all perspective. It seems like one kind of more outed himself and was more part of it. And it seems like Mark and Luke kind of zeroed in on that one. But remember, Matthew's the bean counter, right? Hey, hang out with an accountant for a while. And they are meticulous about numbers. And that's Matthew, right? The tax collector. He would be more meticulous about that. So that's one of the discrepancies. Now the other one's a little bit harder because Matthew says when they went out of Jericho. Mark and Luke says when they went in Jericho. Wow, that's a little bit hard. And hey, that's why, you know, there's a lot of resources now, I'm sure, on the net. I always go to these two books I have. One that someone gave me when I was being discipled, a friend of mine the guy who was discipling me, I would call him like twice a day. Hey, I was reading my Bible and what does this mean? And he'd have to explain it to me. And finally, he bought me this book called The Encyclopedia of Bible Difficulties by Gleason Archer. And he goes, here. You know, he said, now, and hey, so listen, there's some plausible explanations. One of them is they started, and it started as they were going in, and then it continued till they were going out. That one kind of works, maybe, and you know, maybe the first time they called, and then et cetera. I kind of like this one. I think there was an old Jericho and a new Jericho. And I believe they were going out of the old Jericho into the new Jericho. And hey, we could even say it like this. You just go up here and go west a little bit, and you're going to be leaving Sierra Vista and going into Fry Township, and just a couple blocks, you're going to be coming back into Sierra Vista. So you could be leaving Sierra Vista and coming into Sierra Vista all in one little short walk. I like that explanation. Because here's what I know. There's not a contradiction, and something's not wrong here. You know, one didn't get it right, and one didn't get it wrong. So having said all that, let's go back to the scene, because I don't want us to get messed up with that. And some of you are. So come back, just, you know, go home and study that, Google it. But listen, man, listen to these two guys. You have all this stuff, and they're screaming at him, hey, son of David, have mercy on us. And it's like, everybody, look at what the crowd does. Look at verse 31. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. Don't you love it? Like you're all excited about something, and the respectable people are going, shh. No, I'm not going to shh. Not right now. My wife does that to me a lot. She's going, shh. Especially when I get a little agitated. We were talking as we were getting ready to come out today and talking about how, you know, some things kind of get to you. Maybe you guys are calmer. There's a couple of us that are not. And Gaynell will always like give me that look like, don't you do that. I know you do not. So listen, man, they're telling these guys to be quiet. Are you going to go with the crowd or are you going to go with your heart? I love these guys. Shh. Be quiet. But they cried out all the more. Here's what they did. You think I was loud before? Oh, I'm bringing it now, right? And they cried out all the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. Listen, man, they're like, they're getting a little bit obnoxious now and they're wanting it, right? Because here's the thing, man, this is their chance. They've heard about him. They know who's coming through here. Man, they're excited. Oh, I forgot and left out the fact that a lot of blind people went to Jericho because Jericho had a tree that grew that they could get some salve on that supposedly healed blindness. So a lot of blind people would go there and try it out. You know, it's like the latest, newest pharmaceutical drug that you could get. So I believe it had. So these guys are there. They're desperate. Obviously, the salve didn't work. They're crying out to him. And I love it. So verse 32, so Jesus stood still and called to them and said, I love it, man. Hey, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. It's like Jesus is saying, come on, guys, let's do this. Let's get real. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know that's the question he asks all of us? He says, and they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. Man, that's it, and that's all we want. It's on our sight. And Jesus said to them, you're loud, you're obnoxious, you're being rude, you're causing a scene. Oh, don't you love this? Listen, so Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. Stop for a moment, just stop for a moment and kind of get the whole scene. You got to get involved with what's going on. Jesus is on his way to die. He knows what's ahead of him. And he knows when he gets there, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly fast, and it's going to be horrific. And he stops and heals these blind guys. That's our God. That's our God. And he had compassion on them, and he touched them, and they were healed. Listen, and he says their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And I love this part, and they followed him. Then they got in the crowd, and they're like dancing, I think, don't you? Don't you think they're dancing a little bit? I don't think they're just like going, yeah, praise God. I think they're woo, and they're jumping around. I think they were louder than they were before. Now, listen, why did I do the whole chapter? One is, I wanted to do the whole chapter. The other thing is, there's one main theme here that we got to get a hold of, and it's the graciousness of our God. Our God is a gracious God. Whether we're talking about using the parable of the landowner, and he's gracious, whether we're looking at the fact that he's going to go to Jerusalem and die for our sins, whether we look at who's going to sit and who's going to be placed where and who's going to do what, in the kingdom of God. He's a gracious God. He makes those decisions. Or if we look at blind guys, he heals them. And we need to go away this morning rejoicing in the fact that we have a God who's a gracious God, who's a good God, and who's a perfect God. And listen, don't get so hung up in details that you miss that. Most of the commentaries I read never got down to the nitty-gritty part of that. He's a good, gracious God. And I think that's what chapter 20 is all about. Because now, starting with 21, it's going to get intense. And we're going to move a lot faster, not necessarily through the chapters, but through his life. Man, it's going to go quick. And it's going to go fast. And it's almost frightening. It's like we've been on this journey with Jesus for a while now, right? If you've been coming for a while, we've been in Matthew for quite a while. And walking along with him, and now, man, it's going to be like, you know what? Now we're going to run. Because things are going to happen like this. And it's going to be intense. And I think chapter 20 is placed specifically for this reason. That we understand going into all of the, quote, ugly, that our God is a gracious God. And we don't forget that. Let's stand up and pray.